Hare Krishna. I affectionately greet all of you. I want to say I'm very pleased to be on this call because, as our Mataji, good name, our last Mataji who introduced me was so nicely saying, there was definitely a very deep bond of affection between Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and myself. It was something very real somehow, two souls meeting in a very special, affectionate and understanding room. So I'm very glad when I heard from Bhuta Bhavana that you have this memorial festival or memorial retreat, and because it does say that those who have left us become present again if we become mindful of them. So if you wish to keep the relationship to those who are affectionately related to with gratitude, you have to see that you can regularly be mindful of their presence in your life, what they contributed to you. If you stop this mindfulness or do not remember, then you lose somehow contact. But if you keep the contact through these memories, which also includes their teachings, of course, their kindness upon you, the memories which you have when you saw them, then they become alive in your life, and they are connected with you over space and time. Good. I have a very specific subject matter, how His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj built bridges through preaching, and I would like to shed light on this, let us say, multifaceted personality. There's so many sides from this angle, building bridges. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So there are so many ways how we can try to understand a spiritually very evolved personality, and I think maybe the best way is to go through a question. How did he live by the instructions of his spiritual teacher, the one who trained him, the one who was most important in his life, the one who he dedicated his service to? I remember, and you will have to forgive me, I'm cannot remember numbers. There is, I do not remember the year in other words. And but there was once in New Vrindavan was a regular festival called the Festival of Inspiration. And a year after the departure of His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, there was a special hour set aside, which was arranged by his disciples and planned by his disciples in honor of His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj. I remember I came a little late to the program, but as I looked on the stage, I saw very well-dressed ladies and gentlemen. They were not dressed in devotional cloth, but in the cloth of intellectual leaders of society. They were really, you know, they looked like, wow, 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 like this type of people. You could see by their demeanor, the way they spoke, first, very, very high-class English, by their dresses, by the... I was amazed. These were the disciples of His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, who had been close to his Institute for Applied Spiritual Science. Am I correct? IFAST, or please help me, technology. Someone, Chichakti, tell me.
Yes. It's the Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology.
Technologies, yes. Technology. Yes, so they were discussing a very wonderful, ways in which Maharaj had reached out. One person had been the host of a radio show and had invited Maharaj to come regularly to her radio program, and she had become a devotee in his association. Then there was another. There was a lawyer, and somehow he had come to programs in Washington, which Maharaj gave. First, a little bit. Let's see what this is. But then he had become a devotee. And one after the other, devotees spoke up and told us in what extraordinary preaching situations they had met Maharaj. In TV programs, in public programs in the town, in radio programs. And it didn't stop, you know. One after the other came on the stage. And I thought, my God, Maharaj is 20 years or whatever ahead of the preaching in our movement. I was considered a frontline preacher with novel programs, so I knew a little bit about different settings and so on. And I was so impressed. And then there was one lady, also well-dressed and high-class lady, who said to all of us, there was a good attendance of maybe 800 devotees, it was a full program, "You don't understand," she said. Bhaktitirtha Maharaj was a very extraordinary personality who made all of us, you know, and by now we were all supremely impressed, devotees. No one else could have done that except for someone who could speak on the level of our interest and profession. And I remember I was so impressed. Wow, I only knew Maharaj as, you know, I will tell you how I got to know him a little later, but I didn't know that he did so much and reached out so much and really let us say uncharted terrain. No one had been there before him of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And I remember I was very, very really impressed, you know, by the quality of the devotees he had inspired to take up the path of Krishna consciousness, and what he did. Some had TV stations, you know. It was really amazing. And then I did remember a letter of Srila Prabhupada which he had sent to all his devotees, which he had sent originally to Shukadev, who was preaching at the universities. And this letter had been copied and copied and copied, and I will send it. I think you should all read it. I can send it maybe to, I think Chitshakti is organizing it. I can send her, and then you can send it to those who are interested. So Prabhupada here set some standards about bridging out or reaching out to people who are a little bit more intelligent, who are high class. Please go to the universities and colleges wherever possible and preach there with a view to recruiting some first-class devotees for helping me manage and push on this movement all over the world. And he says, overall, there's a shortage of first-class experienced people to manage things just to the highest standard. So, and then he gives the idea, how should we preach to intelligent people? How should we reach out? He says, the idea is that they will only agree to join us if we ourselves conduct ourselves intelligently by the preaching approach. The secret will be to engage them as they like to be engaged. That is, supposing I have got some education, I am a business student, or I have got some skill or talent, I'm a typist. In India, typist is a very elevated position. I'm a typist or musician or something like that. So I will like to utilize these things for Krishna only if I'm encouraged in a certain way, very tactfully, and I must not be discouraged by too much forcing me at first to accept everything of shaving the head, rising very early, going to street sankirtan like that. No. Let me gradually come. Let me study also Krishna consciousness and see how it is practical and sublime. When I visited His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj his house, which served also as the base of the Institute for Applied Spiritual Sciences and Technology, there were many pictures. I was in the cellar because we were a lot. Radhanath Maharaj was there. All us friends were together. So I had a room it's not in the cellar, what is it called? Souterrain, you know, where you can have a little window, a small window up there, and you can look out. And I saw many photos of Maharaj in extraordinary attire. it was so beautiful. Like, I remember the one cylinder was there with feathers. Wow! I thought, this man has style. And so on. And I had become aware that some of the, let us say, devotees who may not be experienced in outreach preaching, where you, Prabhupada wrote me personally, I should go in a flaming red dhoti on the stage and dance to encourage them in Krishna consciousness, the people. That was at the time of Gauranga Bhajan group. And I remember I was criticized. I said, my dhoti is Prabhupada style dhoti. He has written that we must reach out and capture their imagination. But some, let us say, maybe temple devotees who stay in the temple only in tradition, in the traditional style, they could not relate to this, understandably. So I had become aware that some had been surprised by Maharaj in various in African chieftain dress and so on. And then one of his disciples had told me confidentially that Maharaj said, if it is necessary, I am prepared to dress in diapers and go in the TV show to reach the people. Of course, he would not do that, but it was a statement that Maharaj was really understanding the mind of people in the outside world and what was needed to bridge over to them and to reach them. This is what Prabhupada also said. At first, we should not demand that our style, our culture is followed. I must not be discouraged by too much forcing me at first to accept everything of shaving the head, rising very early. No, let me come gradually and see how everything is practical and sublime. And then Prabhupada continues, we are not dogma or like army camp. No, no dogma, not like army camp. You know, where everyone is dressed the same style, boring style. No, we are servants of Krishna. That means because we understand that Krishna is our protector under all circumstances, we have no more any anxiety. So we become very liberal and tolerant of all kinds of seeing others' sinful activities, and we see them innocent victims of Maya. They do not know. They are innocent victims of Maya. And we try to help them understand what is the real position of life. So you know this art, how to attract and engage people. So aim yourself at the top class of men and give them every opportunity and facility to become convinced of our philosophy and engage themselves to their satisfaction. I really encourage you. It is a wonderful letter, and we will. Shakti, if you can send your. We can send. Easy. Gokrishna can send it to Buddha Bhavana, and he knows how to reach you. We are not so computer technologically advanced, so we. So I could constantly see Maharaj's sensitivity to his intelligent audiences. For instance, I remember a festival in the Black Sea, that is in Russia, and there was a need to speak to the local government. And immediately we all understood, this is the one who can do it best is our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. There were so many older devotees there. I mean, so many Prabhupada disciples. But we all said, Maharaj, you go. You can talk nicely. And you are very educated. And you please explain everything. And he would go. And not only that, he was extremely intelligent and well-educated in every kind of, I mean, he really knew the postmodern civilization and what they were thinking. And he could connect, but he had a very charming personality, being so much a real devotee, a real person, that I asked one Russian devotee, so how was it? I mean, they were in the beginning a little bit thinking, what is happening? 8,000 Hare Krishna devotees are in our local community. What is happening? And he said, this Russian devotee, I've never seen this. Maharaj spoke, and they were so interested in what he spoke. He spoke softly and not too much spiritual insights he gave. But then they ended up talking and asking about things like spiritual leadership and so on. I've seen this repeatedly in Croatia. I have met professors at the university who bought from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj sets of the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. That was when he was on the BBT party. And they were so impressed. They wrote these amazing comments on Krishna book. There's one professor who wrote on Krishna book and who wrote on the Bhagavatam. I mean, they wrote so good because they met someone who was so good. And then they thought, well, this man, if he recommends these books, they must be very good. So I've seen this repeatedly happening, that Maharaj really followed this letter, you know, of reaching out to the intelligent people. I could really appreciate it. I would like now to come to another facet of his personality, which is closely related to his outreach preaching. I think you all know that he served for a good number of years on the BBT library party. Srila Prabhupada wanted that his books are coming to the university and that intelligent people would read them and then also teach the perspectives of Krishna consciousness to their students. He often said that our contribution should be marked by society in terms of philosophy, theology, etc. So for that end, he had a group was recruited of very, let us say, of devotees who could speak on the university level. They had been in universities themselves as students, and they went all over the world and distributed these books in every country, but precisely to the universities and colleges, because Prabhupada's request was that we bring this Krishna consciousness to this type of to this audience. So I remember I would at various places meet him, and one of the places, because I was also preaching in various countries, not as a member of the Bhaktivedanta Library Party, but as a small preaching group which would go to all types of audiences, from music festivals to universities to priestly institutions, church institutions, whatever. So I met him in Switzerland. I had become by now very full of admiration for him. He was my older brother in terms of spiritual advancement and spiritual knowledge and closeness to Srila Prabhupada. But he was always very affectionate to me, like an older brother to a younger brother. But I was very shy because, wow, he was such a high level, and I felt myself like a barbarian, Viking or someone. So I was a little shy to approach him, natural respect. And I remember there was this one morning, we were staying in an old castle by the Lake of Geneva. That was our temple. It was called Chateau something French. They speak French in that. It's a French part of Switzerland. Chateau. I don't remember. So we were in this old little castle by the lake. Beautiful place. In the night I had woken up to go to the bathroom. And when I came out, I saw Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj chanting. It was really early, like I don't know, 2 o'clock maybe, or really early. No one was up, but he was there. At my dear devotees, you should have seen him chanting. Oh, this was not distracted chanting. He was really absorbed in the chanting. He had put his glasses to the side and had closed eyes. He was really absorbed in chanting. He was on his feet. He stood and he was swinging back and forth. And really he was with the holy name. He was with Krishna. That was clear. And I did not want to disturb. I just sat down and observed and heard and thought, oh, here is someone I can learn from how to chant. Very, very absorbed. He didn't see me. He didn't see anything else. He had his eyes closed. He was absorbed in chanting. And I believe this is the secret for his amazing ability to touch and impact people. In his own words, he spoke about this. As we carry a greater sense of divinity within us, so are the contacts we make with others automatically on a higher platform. I think you understand. When you really carry a greater sense of divinity, in other words, you are more Krishna conscious, you are more advanced in Krishna consciousness, then the contacts which you have will automatically rise on a higher platform. It won't be ordinary chit-chat or ordinary, a talk. No, you will rise the people to the level where you are. And that is that he always observed. He was very serious in his own spiritual practice, in his own way of addressing and relating to Krishna. So that this greater sense of divinity was with him. That is a very, very important thing I met. And therefore, when he met Nelson Mandela, when he met all these media contacts, when he led his community projects, when he wrote his books with sacred teaching, it was on a high spiritual level because he himself was not shy in doing these austerities which are necessary. You will have to say no to Maya or no to distraction and absorb yourself in Krishna to come to a higher level. Yes. I would like to now remember with you another very dear event which I remembered. We had been in Croatia and Maharaj had been, I'm pretty sure, there was an event at the Indian embassy, and Maharaj had spoken there. And when he came back, he was glowing with enthusiasm, you know. He was like a million suns, so much spiritual tejas. So he was coming from that, you know, right from the fire of preaching. And we met in the center of town to do Harinam. Because, yes, Harinam is very good to reach out to the masses. And he was playing his very nice drum. I think I see Bavada there. Bavada has also the drum, and maybe you can show the drum. If you have a drum at home, please bring and show, so that we understand very, very closely. Shachakti, you can maybe put him for a moment on the screen so that you have to see this drum. Otherwise, you cannot understand what will come now. Anyways, we wait until he comes. He was playing this drum and he was dancing. Babada, drum is there? Good. Yes. Give us sound. Thank you. Voila, voila. Okay, Shachakti, you can change the. So yes, this was his drum. I don't know if it's the same one, but it was the same size, really big. And is this Maharaj's drum, Bavada? No, different drum, but the same way. Yes, same way. And he was dancing, and I also like to dance very much. And we were inspiring each other, and sweat was coming, and we were very ecstatic, and we danced like anything. And I could see it was not a show dance. There was genuine Krishna conscious inspiration in our Maharaj. And I like to quote him on this. It was really extraordinary. He said, "We must resist the temptation to be normal." We must resist the temptation to be normal, because those who are now considered normal accept values and practices of an insane world. You understand? Those who are considered normal now, they accept values and practices of an insane world. So yes, he was preaching at the Indian embassy. Just, oh yes. Very, you know, like you preach. But then the next moment, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's very important. Don't idealize normalcy. This is not a value by which you can live your life. Normalcy. What is normal? To eat meat is normal. Oh, no one thinks it's unnormal. So many things are considered normal. We can ask Chitti Shakti. She is professional doctor and knows what people think is normal. It is not normal in the spiritual sense. No, this it doesn't mean we should be flipped out or spaced out or another craziness. No, no. We should share spiritual values. No, it doesn't mean to just do crazy things, but dancing is a spiritual value for Krishna's pleasure. To serve, to maybe, yes, do an austerity and so on. We should not be afraid. Krishna, when we raise our level of Krishna consciousness, Krishna will be there in our heart and he will guide us. Good. Maharaj did many, many wonderful preaching programs. I often have contact with his disciples all over the world, and they tell me and inform me about the things which I did not know. You can read about it and so on. But there is one quality which I have always seen, from which I could learn. See, Maharaj was not always an outgoing preacher type of person. Yes, he was always a preacher, but he would, for instance, not dance. He was a Harvard jail student, Princeton. This is a very respected university, and he was the leader of students there. But when he was coming to Krishna consciousness, he was a little bit reserved, like a gentleman. No? I don't know who it was. Either it was himself or it was his friend, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. They told me that once in New Vrindavan, he had come to a kirtan. He was a initiated devotee at that time. And he had stood in the back of the kirtan. He had not danced with the devotees, but just stood a little bit in his, I hope the English word reserved, you know, a little like a gentleman. Way, and he had observed the kirtan, he had chanted along. And then all of a sudden, some inner realization came to him, and he went to the kirtan and danced exuberantly. And later, he spoke about it to Radhanath Maharaj, or Radhanath Maharaj asked him, or he told me directly, I cannot remember right now, but I can remember the content. He said he changed his approach because he saw if something is necessary for service, he will try to do it. And here comes one of the sentences which he said that impacted me most. I believe it was in a lecture of Buddha Bhavana Prabhu where I first heard this sentence, and then I asked one devotee to find it for me in the books of Maharaj or the recorded lectures, and it was found. And I think here, in this one sentence, he gives almost like a secret of his own spiritual success. And I request you now to listen very attentively. You will have to put your mind on. Maybe you would like to make even a note of this sentence. I will speak it very slowly so you can write it down in your notepad. It's really something very extraordinary spiritual. So are you ready? Good. When you desire to serve is beyond your capacity, yet you act without hesitation, that is the moment empowerment occurs. I will repeat it for you. When you desire to serve is beyond your capacity, yet you act without hesitation, that is the moment empowerment occurs. You see, I cannot do this. I'm limited. This, I have a certain capacity. That's it. But you feel, I have a desire to do something special for Krishna. This desire is more than my capacity. And then at that moment you give up hesitation. No, I'm going to try it. I'm going to make my best effort. At that moment Krishna sees, wow, this devotee wants to do something for me. And he has given up the brakes. He has loosened the brakes. The fear, the anxiety, oh, will this work? Will people appreciate me? Will people acknowledge? But you know, he has given up the brakes. That is the moment where Krishna gives you his energy, bhakti shakti, and you become empowered to do things that are way beyond your abilities, that are way beyond your mental conditioning, way beyond your own conditioned nature, and so on. Because now you are carrying Krishna's shakti. Krishna says, okay, this person wants to do something. Okay, this person has doubts that it will work out, but he has given up these doubts. He has given up his determination. Okay, let me help this devotee. And then the empowerment takes place. It's a beautiful quotation, really beautiful. I will I'm so happy. I have a notebook, small notebook, with very important statements, and this is one of them. Very important, very important. When your desire to serve is beyond your capacity, yet you act without hesitation, that is the moment empowerment occurs. Wonderful, wonderful. I owe a debt of gratitude to our Buddha Bhavana, who has stated this, and of course to His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Yeah, Hari Bol. I can say many things because by Krishna's mercy, I did have many personal interactions, and whenever we met, well, sometimes it was not possible, but when we met, we would always try to reserve time and sit down together, or we would make a walk together when no one could, where we could privately talk. And I'm very, very, feel very honored to have this, to have had such a friend. He was always higher. He is a higher person than me. But he used to say to me that I'm his friend. So he can say to me, for me, he is my older brother. that is more my place. Good. So I think I will stop here and see if there are any questions. Maybe Chakti, you should inform everyone how this part of question and answer will best go. Please inform us.
So Krishna Shakti is going to put some questions to you that we've already got. If anybody else has questions, please put them in the chat room, either to general or directly to myself if it's private or sensitive. Thank you. Over to you, Krishna Shakti.
All right. Thank you very much, Maharaj. I love the quote and love hearing the pastimes. Very great to hear the relationship and just the things that you learned and things that you learned from Maharaj and you're sharing with us. So definitely took us down memory lane in multiple ways. One of the first questions that we'll ask is, 2020 is a very difficult time for many people right now. What do you think Gurudev's response would be to the current challenging times?
Yes. Even astrologically, you can see, this is a very, very, it's a time of change, really, where old paradigms have to go in everyone's life, because things do change, and the world changes tremendously. I think Maharaj would ask the question, what does not change? What is there that does not break when anything else breaks, or many things break? What is there that does not fall, but stands? I think Maharaj would also encourage us to see the opportunity which change brings. If you he would go with a philosophy of this glass is half full. It's not empty. Of course, the challenging times take some things away. But a whole field of new opportunities arises. Let me give you a little example from my own life. I had to cancel so many pre-arranged retreats, programs, meetings, everything. Chung, one after the other. But I have made a new discovery. The internet. I can reach so many more people through the internet. Why concentrate on the glasses half empty? Why not say, wow, first class fruit juice is here in this glass. And this is here, it was offered to me, I can take it. I have not eaten anything today, so therefore it is just some fruit juice. So why think the glass is empty? He is a great proponent of seeing the opportunities. And even in crises, he would point out opportunities to grow. He himself is such an example of using difficult situations for Krishna. For instance, his glorious departure, where he really gave the most important teaching is, yeah, we will all have to leave. How do we leave? What is in our consciousness? No, you know that this is amply documented and so on. Yes, this is my answer to the first question.
Right, thank you very much, Maharaj. And what advice would you give for younger devotees who are now coming into contact with Bhaktichirta Swami's beautiful teachings and wish to develop a deeper relationship with him?
What do you do if you want to make a relationship with someone who has left his body but who is a great spiritual personality, who is there? You have to find out how he is still accessible. It's not enough to know of a great personality. You have to know, how can I access him? And I would recommend two ways to access Maharaj. Three ways, actually. You please read his books and listen to his recorded lecture. The next is, find out his spirit, his mood. That which is most prominently alive in him. There's one lecture which I totally recommend, and here I will turn to Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu, who's... there was a lecture in Mayapur where Maharaj really talked to the whole movement about the spirit in which Krishna consciousness should be preached and lived. And it's a particularly, I think it is a well-known lecture, but in that lecture, at least for me and many of his godbrothers, his spirit, his pulse, if you so want, is very, very much recognizable. If I want to understand and follow a person, in other words, it's important to have the philosophy or the teachings, the wisdom, and there are ample books available and recordings are available. But you need to understand the spirit in which it is said. And that spirit you can learn from this lecture and also from talking with his disciples who have met him and cherish his memory. And then finally, the third is do like he has done. Yes, I understand. Some of you say, what, Maharaj? That's not possible. I am an ant. He is a giant. How can you tell us such an impractical thing? No, follow in your way, in your ant-like way, or of whatever you, wherever you see yourself. And then the connection is made. Three things. Read the philosophy, understand the spirit, and follow, apply his teachings, but also follow his example in your own way, how you can do it. Yes.
Thank you very much. Excellent. Yes. So that was protecting Srila Prabhupada's house, I think, is the famous...
Maybe someone can write the link, because I would like to hear it again. I'm getting fired up here. Where can we find it? Oops.
Vituswami.com. Okay. It looks like it's in the chat box. So
yeah. Gaur Krishna, you can just... Or do you have it? Or? He has it. Oh. Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right. The next question is asking about your memories with Bhakti Tirtha Swami and New York Rath Yatras.
Oh, that was... Oh. I was only there for one New York Rath Yatra, but that was unforgettable with Maharaj. I have been altogether... No, I may have been only one time. One time or two times. Anyways, so we were meeting very affectionately before the cart. The cart was standing, I still remember, and the ropes were not yet unwound. They were still lying on in a pile of ropes. And I was just staying near Lord Jagannath, because that's the best place to be at a Jagannath Rath Yatra. And I was looking at the deities, praying at the deities. All of a sudden, I had not seen Maharaj. He spoke to me in his, I hope this is the right English word, sonorous voice, deep voice, yes, sonorous voice. And I turned around, and like always, he carried such an energy with him. You would call it in religious term charisma, the power of charisma. You know, great people have this, boom, you come and it would transport you into, you just would feel so happy and so uplifted. And we... I think we paid obeisances, or maybe not, because we did not want to pay obeisances directly before the deities. We embraced that. He would always embrace me. That I remember. Big embrace. Not a tiny embrace. A strong embrace. And then I honestly remember only his dancing. When the kirtan was given to him, there were various kirtan leaders, everything just exploded. And there was one thing about his kirtan. See, I like kirtan, so I remember with kirtans. I think if I would be, I don't know, something else, I would remember something else, but I like kirtan. And I somehow, you know, for kirtan, if you are a kirtan leader, you need to know how to involve everyone in the kirtan, but in a way that they can make a spiritual experience. It is not that you pull someone in the middle of the kirtan and then they must dance. No, no. It's a very subtle spiritual art where you inspire them that their soul dances, that their soul sings out to Krishna. It's a subtle. Some have it, some have it not. You know. So I remember in Maharaj's kirtans, we all chanted and danced. I only have one expression: a happy family glorifying the Lord. You know, and we would dance like this, back and forth like this, various good dance moves Maharaj knew and has taught us. We would have cyclonic dances where we were like cyclones, But this is something you can perceive from the external. Something else, much deeper and much more important, was going on. The soul became ablaze in Maharaj's kirtans. And that's what we need. All of us, we are sparks. And if we are not in the fire, we will extinguish. Puff, 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 puff. And become some charcoal. You know, we must be in the fire so that we become ablaze. And Maharaj carried this fire. That is what I remember. I have to excuse myself. Now I'm becoming a little elderly, and from New York Ratha Yatra. That's only my. I remember that we went down the, what is it called, the 25th Second Avenue, this main street. Maharaj was dancing, and we were all involved. He just had this way to involve everyone, that no one felt excluded. It was very, very nice.
Definitely, yes, those are very memorable pastimes. I think I remember you also had a very nice kirtan that was in the middle of an old Gothic church in New York City, and that was an amazing time. But going down Fifth Avenue with Maharaj, definitely exciting, wonderful. Right, we have another question. How do we go beyond our capacity without burning out in our bhakti?
Very good question. Very good question. How can we go beyond our capacity without the danger of burning out? You must pray. Never hesitate to go all the way where you can go, because the Lord is anyways beyond it. But when the Lord sees that you are going up to the point where you can go, He will come from His direction and He will pull you. It's not by, you can't break the borders of your capacity by your own capacity. That's a contradiction in terms. You can only pray that, my Lord, I would love to do this. It can happen in your life. My Lord, I have this bad habit with me. I seem to not be able to shake it off so easily. Please help me to cross beyond and leave this bad habit beyond. You can do it in a relationship. Oh my Lord, when I'm with this person, something is triggered that is not very good. I can see that. Please help me, my Lord, that I can act more compassionate, more forgiving, more tolerant also, please, like this. Then the Lord may help you to cross it. You may do it in a preaching project. You may do it everywhere. But the point always is to pray. Here I come to a very important philosophical point. It's called Sankalpa. Sankalpa is an inner orientation which will help you to move on. So in Sankalpa, it's not like the positive self-help industry where you just focus yourself positively on some goals, but you present this to the Lord. My Lord, I wish to do this for you. And then by the Lord's Shakti, this can happen. Very important. And please, when you see that there is a task which is too big for you at this present moment, and you have tried one or two times, and you see, oh no, this is too big for me, then don't kill yourself on trying to solve it on your own. Just pray to the Lord and say, my dear Lord, if you so desire, please kindly help me. I think I've reached my borders here, my limitations, and Krishna might help very easily. In the words of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, again, you must hear very attentively, and your intelligence must be there. We must remind ourselves that the Lord is always finding ways to send out His love. Krishna always finds a way. If you want it, if you turn to Him, as we remind ourselves of this, it becomes easier to take advantage of the many opportunities that manifest. Life is full of adventures and opportunities to serve humanity and glorify the Lord. When a person can accept everything as an expression of Krishna's mercy and love, nothing can be too disturbing. Every moment becomes another opportunity to serve humanity, worship the Supreme, and express gratitude. Do you get the point? See the hand of the Lord. See Krishna's hand behind everything. That will... And when Krishna doesn't want that you do this, so what? Then you don't do it. He knows what is best. Good. Any other question?
Yes, we do. All right, so thank you very much. Kindly explain what can be practical key points to selfless friendship to devotees, as your divine grace had to His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj.
Key point of genuine friendship with devotees. I cannot think of any better answer than what Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj has given. I remember I was once in Gita Nagari. I came there a few times. And they had a beautiful piece of paper. It was printed. And in that, on this card, it was more like a card, they had the four principles of community building, which are also principles of relationship. Community means relationship. And I guess they are well known amongst your disciples, but I will just quickly go through them. Treat everyone you encounter as if the success or failure of your spiritual life depend on the quality of your interactions with them. Treat everyone you encounter as if the success or failure of your spiritual life depend on the quality of your interactions with them. Maharaj was not about blaming. Never there is an unfortunate truth that, yes, he was not always understood by some of his God brothers, and he suffered from this. I know he has told me, because he was never ever blaming. He was never ever telling them. He thought, no, it's my responsibility to make it work. That's so hard. This standard may be very high. I agree. This is too, because some people are just, they are just, you can just say, and have you reached the human species of life already, Prabhuji? Some general principles, have you understood? No? Then learn a little bit, but do not open your mouth. You are not qualified to open your mouth. Sometimes one feels like this, no? But Maharaj was not like this. Treat everyone you encounter as if the success or failure of your spiritual life depend on the quality of your interactions with them. My dear devotees, let's be truthful. This is a high standard. This is very high. But that's what Maharaj has said. So we have to follow. We have to, yes, do. It means maybe start in small doses with this principle. It may be a little bit too high for you, but give your best in your relationships. Second principle, reflect on the person you love the most and aspire to treat everyone with the same quality of love. Another very high principle, but he lived by these principles. You know? When you love someone, you tolerate when they do something wrong, and you try to be of service for them. So these two things you could also apply. You tolerate when someone is like they are, and you try to give your you try to treat everyone. View all conflicts as your fault first. Wow. Realize that people in your present environment might very well be the people with whom you will live your own life. No, with whom you will live out your life, and who are likely to be with you at the time of death. My dear devotees, what you're hearing here is a translation of the verse Trinadapi Sunichena Taro Iva Sahishnuna into practical dealings. Our Maharaj is not a theoretical preacher. Lower than the straw in the street, tolerant like the tree, willing to give others respect without craving for respect yourself. This is a statement. I want to say something else. I'm not on such a high level as our Maharaj, admittedly, but I'm trying. It will come after some time. But what I try to do with relationships, I mean, those who are very close, it's no problem. You don't have to think or intellectualize how I'm with Buddha Bhavana. I'm just so joyful that to see Buddha Bhavana, discuss various things with him. That there is no intellectualizing of how should I say things or not say things. It is just you can be yourself. But I'm speaking now of other relationships. I have always seen one thing, and listen now very careful. In relationship, even with people who are different from yourself, there is a principle that is just so when you know it, everything becomes very easy. It's what you give into a relationship as a deposit that does something to the relationship. Deposits are kindness, attention, willing to hear their standpoint, learning or hearing their perspective, and so on. That's a deposit. And in any other, in a relationship, there are also withdrawals, like in a bank account. Withdrawal would be, yes, that you are maybe one day a little ununderstanding and unkind or a little fast, and the person wanted to have more attention, etc. But try to see relationships that you can make deposits more than you make withdrawals, which happen in any human relationship. Withdrawal, it's nothing bad, a withdrawal. But you say, Prabhu, could you please do this for me? Or could you please, you know, it's you are expecting something from another person. That is, no, give ample deposits. That will be very easy and good. And then they turn out nice, even if it is very difficult people. I have seen, I think by now every one of us who's on the call knows what is a difficult person. they exist in this world. But I have seen even then when you try to say to the, oh, Mr. Difficult Person, tell me your perspective, tell me what you see, and you listen to them, it's a deposit, and then they will, something will change. Good, that's what I can say. But that is very technical. Maharaji has very high standards. You have heard about these. But I have noted, they are very high spiritual standards. Try to aspire to live by them as much as you can, and you will see everything changes.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. We really appreciate all your insights and reflections and sharing how to observe.